Saint Peter, from Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia. Saint Peter, Latin P-E-T-R-U-S, Greek P-E-T-R-O-S, died A.D. 64 or 67, also known as Simon Peter, is featured prominently as an early Christian leader, one of the 12 apostles of Jesus Christ, according to the New Testament. He is venerated as a saint and traditionally considered to be the first bishop and pope by the Roman Catholic Church, the Eastern Orthodox Church, and Oriental Orthodoxy. The son of John, or J-O-N-A-H, or J-O-N-A, he was from the village of Bethsaida in the province of Galilee, or Gaulantus. His brother Andrew was also an apostle. Two general epistles are ascribed to Peter, although the majority of biblical scholarship rejects the Petrine authorship of both. The Gospel of Mark was traditionally thought to show the influence of Peter's preaching and eyewitness memories. Several other books bearing his name, the Acts of Peter, Gospel of Peter, Preaching of Peter, Apocalypse of Peter, and Judgment of Peter, are rejected by the Catholic Church as apocryphal. According to New Testament accounts, Peter was one of the 12 apostles chosen by Jesus from his first disciples. Originally a fisherman, he was assigned a leadership role and was with Jesus during events witnessed by only a few apostles, such as the Transfiguration. According to the Gospels, he confessed Jesus as the Messiah, was part of Jesus' inner circle, walked on water, denied Jesus, and preached on the day of Pentecost. According to Christian tradition, Peter is said to have been crucified in Rome under Emperor Nero Augustus Caesar. It is traditionally held that he was crucified upside down at his own request, since he saw himself unworthy to be crucified in the same way as Jesus Christ. Catholic tradition holds that St. Peter's site of crucifixion is located in the Clementine Chapel, while his mortal bones and remains are contained in the underground Confessio of St. Peter's Basilica, where Pope Paul VI announced the excavated discovery of a first-century Roman cemetery in 1968. Every June 19th since 1736, a statue of St. Peter has been crowned in St. Peter's Basilica with a papal tiara, ring of the fisherman, and papal vestments as part of the feast of Saints Peter and Paul. Names and etymologies. Peter's original name was Shimon or Simeon, Simon in English. He was later given the name Peter, a name derived from the Latin P-E-T-R-U-S, which is a masculinized form of the feminine P-E-T-R-A, which means rock, contrasted from petroleum. In Greek, the same idea holds. Petros is derived from Petra. The Latin word Petra is a loan word from Greek. Another version of this name is Aramaic, after his name in Hellenized Aramaic. The English and German Peter, the French Pierre, the Italian Pietro, the Spanish and Portuguese Pedro, the Polish and Russian Piotr, are derived from Petrus. The derivation of rock is similar in several Romance languages. Spanish, piedra, Italian, pietra, French, pierre, and Portuguese, pedra. The Syriac or Aramaic word for rock is cephas, which became Greek, also meaning rock. He is also known as Simon Peter, Cephas, and Kepha. Both Cephas and Kepha also mean rock. However, the Catholic theologian Rudolf Pesch argues that the Aramaic sepha means stone, ball, clump, clue, and that rock is only a connotation. That the Greek petra denotes grown rock, rocky range, cliff, grotto, and that petros means small stone, firestone, slingstone, moving builder. New Testament account. Peter's life is told in the four canonical Gospels, the Book of Acts, New Testament letters, non-canonical, Gospel according to the Hebrews, and other early church accounts of his life and death. In the New Testament, he is among the first of the disciples called during Jesus' ministry. It was during his first meeting with Jesus that Jesus named him Peter. Peter was to become the first apostle ordained by Jesus in the early church. Peter ran a fishing business in Bethsaida, per the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 44. He was named Simon, son of Jonah or John. The Synoptic Gospels all recount how Peter's mother-in-law was healed by Jesus at their home in Capernaum, per the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 8, verses 14 through 70, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 29 through 30, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verse 38, which, coupled with 1 Corinthians, chapter 9, verse 5, clearly depict Peter as a married man. His wife is known in the East as Febronia, and her feast is celebrated on June 28th. In the Synoptic Gospels, Peter, then Simon, was a fisherman, along with his brother Andrew and the sons of Zebedee, James and John. The Gospel of John also depicts Peter fishing, even after the resurrection of Jesus, in the story of the catch of 153 fish. In Matthew and Mark, Jesus called Simon and his brother Andrew to be fishers of men, per the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 18 through 19, and the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 16 through 17. In Luke, Simon Peter owns the boat that Jesus uses to preach to the multitudes who are pressing on him at the shore of Lake Gennesaret, per Luke, chapter 5, verse 3. Jesus then amazes Simon and his companions James and John. Andrew is not mentioned, by telling them to lower their nets, whereupon they catch a huge number of fish. Immediately after this, they follow him, per Luke chapter 5, verses 4 through 11. The Gospel of John gives a comparable account of the first disciples, per the Gospel of John chapter 1, verses 35 through 42. In John, we are told that it was two disciples of John the Baptist, Andrew and an unnamed disciple, who heard John the Baptist announce Jesus as the Lamb of God, and then followed Jesus. Andrew then went and fetched his brother Simon, saying, "We have found the Messiah," and then brought Simon to Jesus. Three of the four canonical Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and John, recount the story of Jesus walking on water. Matthew additionally describes Peter walking on water for a moment, but beginning to sink when his faith wavered. At the beginning of the Last Supper, Jesus washed his disciples' feet. Peter initially refused to let Jesus wash his feet, but when Jesus responded, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me," Peter replied, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." The washing of feet is often repeated in the service of worship on Maundy Thursday by some Christian denominations. The three Synoptic Gospels all mention that, when Jesus was arrested, one of his companions cut off the ear of a servant of the high priest. The Gospel of John also includes this event and names Peter as the swordsman and Malchus as the victim, per John chapter 18, verse 10. Luke adds that Jesus touched the ear and miraculously healed it, per the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verses 49 through 51. This healing of the servant's ear is the last of the 37 miracles attributed to Jesus in the Bible. Rock dialogue. In a dialogue between Jesus and his disciples, in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 13 through 20, Jesus asks, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" The disciples give various answers. When he asks, "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answers, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." In turn, Jesus declares Peter to be blessed for having recognized Jesus' true identity and attributes this recognition to a divine revelation. Then Jesus addresses Simon by what seems to have been the nickname Peter, Cephas in Aramaic, Petros, stone in Greek, and says, "On this rock, Petra in Greek, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. A common exegetical interpretation of Peter is provided by Daniel Harrington, who suggests that Peter was an unlikely symbol of stability. While he was one of the first disciples called and served as the spokesman for the group, Peter is also the exemplar of little faith in Matthew 14. We'll soon have Jesus say to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" and will eventually deny Jesus three times. In light of the Easter event, then, Peter became an exemplar of the forgiven sinner. A great variance of opinions exists as to the interpretation of this passage with respect to what authority and responsibility, if any, Jesus was giving to Peter. Petros had not previously been used as a name, but in the Greek-speaking world it became a popular Christian name, after the tradition of Peter's prominence in the early Christian church had been established. In the Eastern Orthodox Church, this passage is interpreted as not implying a special prominence to the person of Peter, but to Peter's position as representative of the apostles. The word used for rock, Petra, grammatically refers to a small detachment of the massive ledge, not to a massive boulder. Thus, Orthodox sacred tradition understands Jesus' words as referring to the apostolic faith. The great majority of Western scholars concur with the interpretation that the rock was Peter, not Jesus himself or Peter's faith. Denial of Peter. All four canonical Gospels recount that, during the Last Supper, Jesus foretold that Peter would deny him three times before the following cockcrow, before the cock crows twice in Mark's account. The Synoptics and John describe the three denials as follows. 1. A denial when a female servant of the high priest spots Simon Peter, saying that he had been with Jesus. According to Mark, but not in all transcripts, the rooster crowed. Only Luke and John mention a fire by which Peter was warming himself among other people. According to Luke, Peter was sitting. According to John, he was standing. 2. A denial when Simon Peter had gone out to the gateway, away from the firelight, but the same servant girl, Mark, or another servant girl, per Matthew, or a man, per Luke, and also John, for whom, though this is the third denial, told the bystanders he was a follower of Jesus. According to John, the rooster crowed. 3. A denial came when Peter's Galilean accent was taken as proof that he was indeed a disciple of Jesus. According to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the rooster crowed. John, though, does not mention the Galilean accent. Matthew adds that it was his accent that gave him away as coming from Galilee. Luke deviates slightly from this by stating that, rather than a crowd accusing Simon Peter, it was a third individual. The Gospel of John places the second denial while Peter was still warming himself at the fire, and gives, as the occasion of the third denial, a claim by someone to have seen him in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus was arrested. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus' prediction of Peter's denial is coupled with a prediction that all the apostles, you, plural, would be sifted like wheat, but that it would be Peter's task, you, singular, when he had turned again to strengthen his brethren. In a reminiscent sign in John's epilogue, Peter affirms three times that he loves Jesus. Resurrection appearances. In John's Gospel, Peter is the first to enter the empty tomb, although the women and the beloved disciple see it before him, per the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 1 through 9. In Luke's account, the women's report of the empty tomb is dismissed by the apostles, and Peter is the only one who goes to check for himself. In fact, he runs to the tomb. After seeing the grave clothes, he goes home, apparently without informing the other disciples, per the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians contains a list of resurrection appearances of Jesus, the first of which is an appearance to Peter. Here Paul apparently follows an early tradition that Peter was the first to see the risen Christ, which, however, did not seem to have survived to the time when the Gospels were written. In the final chapter of the Gospel of John, Peter, in one of the resurrection appearances of Jesus, three times affirmed his love for Jesus, balancing his threefold denial, and Jesus reconfirmed Peter's position. Position among the apostles. Peter is listed first among the 12 apostles in the canonical Gospels and in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1, verse 13. He is also frequently mentioned in the Gospels as forming with James the Elder and John a special group within the 12 apostles, present at incidents at which the others were not present, such as the transfiguration of Jesus. He often confesses his faith in Jesus as the Messiah. Peter is often depicted in the Gospels as spokesman of all the apostles. Catholics refer to him as chief of the apostles, as do Eastern Orthodox and the Oriental Orthodox. In Coptic Orthodox Church liturgy, he is once referred to as prominent or head among the apostles, a title shared with St. Paul and the text. The fraction of fast and feast of the apostles Peter and Paul in the Coptic Orthodox Church of Alexandria. Some, including the Orthodox churches, believe this is not the same as saying that the other apostles were under Peter's orders. In contrast, Jewish Christians are said to have argued that James the Just was the leader of the group. Some argue James was the patriarch of Jerusalem, and that this position at times gave him privilege in some, but not all, situations. The early church historian Eusebius, circa AD 325, records Clement of Alexandria, circa AD 190, as saying, "For they say that Peter and James and John, after the ascension of our Savior, as if also preferred by our Lord, strove not after honor, but chose just James the Just, Bishop of Jerusalem." Paul affirms that Peter had the special charge of being apostle to the Jews, just as he, Paul, was apostle to the Gentiles. Role in the early church. The author of the Acts of the Apostles portrays Peter as an extremely important figure within the early Christian community, with Peter delivering a significant open-air sermon during Pentecost. According to the same book, Peter took the lead in selecting a replacement for Judas Iscariot, per Acts chapter 1, verse 15. He was twice arraigned with John before the Sanhedrin and directly defied them, per Acts chapter 4, verses 7 through 22, and chapter 5, verses 8 through 42. He undertook a missionary journey to Lydda, Joppa, and Caesarea, per chapter 9, verses 32 through chapter 10, verse 2, becoming instrumental in the decision to evangelize the Gentiles. About halfway through, the Acts of the Apostles turns its attention away from Peter and to the activities of Paul, and the Bible is mostly silent on what occurred to Peter afterwards. John Vidmar writes, "Both Catholic and Protestant scholars agree that Peter had an authority that superseded that of the other apostles. Peter is their spokesman at several events. He conducts the election of Matthias, his opinion in the debate over converting Gentiles was crucial, etc." Acts chapter 12 tells how Peter was put into prison by King Herod, but was rescued by an angel. At the Council of Jerusalem, circa 50, the early church, Paul, and the leaders of the Jerusalem church met and decided to embrace Gentile converts. Acts portrays Peter as successfully opposing the Christian Pharisees who insisted on circumcision. Epistles. Peter, Cephas, is mentioned briefly in Paul's Epistle to the Galatians, which mentions a trip by Paul to Jerusalem, where he meets Peter, Galatians 1, chapter 1, verse 18, and a trip by Cephas to Antioch, per Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 through 14, where Paul rebuked him for treating Gentile converts as inferior to Jewish Christians. See the incident at Antioch. Galatians is accepted as authentic by almost all scholars, so these are the earliest mentions of Peter to be written. Church tradition ascribes the epistles 1 and 2 Peter to Apostle Peter, as does the text of 2 Peter itself. 1 Peter implies the author is in Babylon, which has been held to be a coded reference to Rome. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 13. Although Babylon was an important fortress city in Egypt, just north of today's Cairo, and this fact is combined with the greetings from Mark, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 13, who is regarded as the founder of the Church of Alexandria, Egypt. Thus, other scholars put the 1 Peter epistle to be written in Egypt. Most scholars regard both 1 and 2 Peter as not having been authored by him, partly because other parts of the New Testament describe Peter as an illiterate fisherman. Accounts outside the New Testament. In a strong tradition of the early church, Peter is said to have founded the church in Rome with Paul, served as its bishop, authored two epistles, and then met martyrdom there along with Paul. However, the traditional Catholic interpretation that his role was analogous to that of later popes is questioned or rejected by many historians and by other Christian denominations. Antioch and Corinth. Later accounts expand on the brief biblical mention of his visit to Antioch. The Liber Pontificalis, 9th century, mentions Peter as having served as bishop of Antioch for 7 years, and having potentially left his family in the Greek city before his journey to Rome. Claims of direct blood lineage from Simon Peter among the population of Antioch existed in the 1st century and continue to exist today, notably by certain Saman families of modern-day Syria and Lebanon. Historians have furnished other evidence of Peter's sojourn in Antioch. Subsequent tradition held that Peter had been the first patriarch of Antioch. Peter might have visited Corinth, as a party of Cephas existed there. Eusebius of Caesarea, who lived circa 260 to 340, in his Historia Ecclesiastica, while naming some of the 70 disciples of Jesus, says, "And the history of Clement of Alexandria circa 150 to circa 215, in the 5th chapter of Hypotiasis, in which Cephas, the one mentioned by Paul in the citation, when Cephas came to Antioch, I confronted him face to face." Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. It is said he was one of the 70 disciples, having the same name with Peter the Apostle. Death. In the epilogue of the Gospel of John, Jesus hints at the death by which Peter would glorify God, per the Gospel of John chapter 21, verses 18 through 19, saying, "When you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and take you where you do not want to go." This is interpreted by some as a reference to Peter's crucifixion. According to the 1911 Catholic Encyclopedia, St. Peter labored in Rome during the last portion of his life, and there his life was ended by martyrdom. The death of St. Peter is attested to by Tertullian at the end of the 2nd century and by Origen in Eusebius, Church History 3.1. Origen wrote, "Peter was crucified at Rome with his head downwards, as he himself had desired to suffer." This is why an upside-down cross is generally accepted as a symbol of Peter, who would not have considered himself worthy to die the same way as his Savior. Status. St. Clement of Rome identifies Peter and Paul as the outstanding heroes of the faith. Papias reported that the Gospel of Mark was based on Peter's memoirs, a tradition still accepted by some scholars today. Martyrdom. The mention in the New Testament of the death of Peter says that Jesus indicated its form by saying, "You will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Early church tradition, as indicated below, says that Peter probably died by crucifixion, with arms outstretched, at the time of the Great Fire of Rome of the year 64. Margherita Guarducci, who led the research leading to the rediscovery of Peter's reputed tomb in its last stages, 1963 to 1968, concludes Peter died on October 13th, AD 64, during the festivities on the occasion of the Dies Imperii of Emperor Nero. This took place 3 months after the disastrous fire that destroyed Rome, for which the emperor wished to blame the Christians. This Dies Imperii regnal day anniversary was an important one, exactly 10 years after Nero ascended to the throne, and it was, as usual, accompanied by much bloodshed. Traditionally, Roman authorities sentenced him to death by crucifixion. According to the apocryphal Acts of Peter, he was crucified head down. Tradition also locates his burial place where the Basilica of St. Peter was later built, directly beneath the basilica's high altar. Clement of Rome, in his letter to the Corinthians, chapter 5, written circa 80 through 98, speaks of Peter's martyrdom in the following terms. "Let us take the noble examples of our own generation. Through jealousy and envy, the greatest and most just pillars of the church were persecuted, and came even unto death. Peter, through unjust envy, endured not one or two, but many labors, and at last, having delivered his testimony, departed unto the place of glory due to him." The apocryphal Acts of Peter is also thought to be the source for the tradition about the famous phrase QUO VADIS DOMINE? Which means, "Where are you going, Master?" According to the story, Peter, fleeing Rome to avoid execution, asked the question of a vision of Jesus, to which Jesus allegedly responded that he was going to Rome to be crucified again. On hearing this, Peter decided to return to the city to accept martyrdom. This story is commemorated in an Annabelle Carracci painting. The Church of Quo Vadis, near the catacombs of St. Callistus, contains a stone in which Jesus' footprints from this event are supposedly preserved, though this was apparently an ex voto from a pilgrim, and indeed a copy of the original, housed in the Basilica of St. Sebastian. The ancient historian Josephus describes how Roman soldiers would amuse themselves by crucifying criminals in different positions, and it is likely that this would have been known to the author of the Acts of Peter. The position attributed to Peter's crucifixion is thus plausible, either as having happened historically or as being an invention by the author of the Acts of Peter. Death after crucifixion head down is unlikely to be caused by suffocation, the usual cause of death in ordinary crucifixion. A medieval tradition was that the Mamertine prison in Rome is the place where Peter was imprisoned before his execution. Catholic tradition holds that his inverted crucifixion occurred on the spot now occupied by the Clementine Chapel in the grottos of St. Peter's Basilica. In 1950, human bones were found buried underneath the altar of St. Peter's Basilica. The bones have been claimed by many to have been those of Peter. An attempt to contradict these claims was made in 1953 by the excavation of what some believe to be St. Peter's tomb in Jerusalem. However, along with the supposed tomb of Peter bearing his previous name Simon, tombs bearing the names of Jesus, Mary, James, John, and the rest of the apostles were also found at the same excavation, though all these names were very common among Jews at the time. In the 1960s, some previously discarded debris from the excavations beneath St. Peter's Basilica were re-examined, and the bones of a male person were identified. A forensic examination found them to be a male of about 61 years of age from the first century. This caused Pope Paul VI in 1968 to announce them most likely to be the relics of Apostle Peter. Further doubt on finding bones in Rome is cast by Pope Vitalian's letter to King Oswy of the Britons from 665 AD, offering him the remains, then called relics, of the Apostle Peter and Paul, along with those of the holy martyrs Laurentius, John, Gregory, and Pancratius as a reward for the emergence of British faith. Connection to Rome. The See of Rome is traditionally said to be founded by Peter and Paul, who had invested it with apostolic authority. The New Testament says nothing directly about Peter's connection to Rome, but a strong early Christian tradition supports such a connection. Presently, most Catholic and Protestant scholars, and many scholars in general, hold the view that Peter was martyred in Rome under Nero. However, some historians have challenged this traditional view of Peter's role in the early Roman Church. For instance, in 2009 and 2013, Otto Zwerlein concluded in two extensive critical studies that there is not a single piece of reliable literary evidence, and no archaeological evidence either, that Peter ever was in Rome. Zwerlein's thesis caused a debate, especially among German scholars, of which an English summary is now online. First Clement, a document that has been dated from the 90s to the 120s, is one of the earliest sources adduced in support of Peter's stay in Rome, but questions have been raised about the text's authenticity and whether it has any knowledge about Peter's life beyond what is contained in the New Testament Acts. The letter to the Romans attributed to St. Ignatius of Antioch implies that Peter and Paul had special authority over the Roman Church, telling the Roman Christians, "I do not command you as Peter and Paul did," chapter 4. However, the authenticity of this document and its traditional dating to circa 105 through 110 have also been questioned, and it may date from the final decades of the 2nd century. Other sources in the 2nd century relate Peter's martyrdom in Rome. Among these, Dionysius of Corinth and Tertullian. Later in the 2nd century, Irenaeus of Lyon believed that Peter and Paul had been the founders of the church in Rome, and had appointed Linus as bishop. In Against Heresies, Irenaeus wrote, "Since, however, it would be too long to enumerate in such a volume as this the succession of all the churches, we shall confound all those who, in whatever manner, whether through self-satisfaction or vainglory, or through blindness and wicked opinion, assemble other than where it is proper, by pointing out here the successions of the bishops of the greatest and most ancient church known to all, founded and organized at Rome by the two most glorious apostles, Peter and Paul, the church which has the tradition and the faith which comes down to us after having been authorized to men by the apostles. With that church, because of its superior origin, all the churches must agree, that is, all the faithful in the whole world, and it is in her that the faithful everywhere have maintained the apostolic tradition. The blessed apostles, then, having founded and built up the church, committed into the hands of Linus the office of the episcopate. Of this Linus, Paul makes mention in the epistles to Timothy. To him succeeded Anacletus, and after him, in the third place from the apostles, Clement was allotted the bishopric. This man, as he had seen the blessed apostles, and had been conversant with them, might be said to have the preaching of the apostles still echoing in his ears, and their traditions before his eyes. Nor was he alone in this, for there were many still remaining who had received instructions from the apostles. In the time of this Clement, no small dissension having occurred among the brethren at Corinth, the church in Rome dispatched a most powerful letter to the Corinthians, exhorting them to peace, renewing their faith, and declaring the tradition which it had lately received from the apostles. Tertullian also writes, "But if you are near Italy, you have Rome, where authority is at hand for us too. What a happy church that is, on which the apostles poured out their whole doctrine with their blood, where Peter had a passion like that of the Lord, where Paul was crowned with the death of John the Baptist by being beheaded. Dionysius of Corinth also serves as a late 2nd century witness to the tradition. He wrote, 'You, Pope Soter, have also, by your very admonition, brought together the planting that was made by Peter and Paul at Rome and at Corinth, for both of them alike planted in our Corinth and taught us, and both alike, teaching similarly in Italy, suffered martyrdom at the same time.'" Like later tradition, first found in St. Jerome, attributes to Peter a 25-year episcopate, or apostolate, in Rome. It has been claimed that archaeological evidence found over a century ago may suggest that Peter was buried near Jerusalem and near the Mount of Olives rather than in Rome, but this has attracted little scholarly support. Non-canonical sayings of Peter. Two sayings are attributed to Peter in the Gnostic Gospel of Thomas. In the first, Peter compares Jesus to a just messenger. In the second, Peter asks Jesus to make Mary leave us, for females don't deserve life. In the Apocalypse of Peter, Peter holds a dialogue with Jesus about the parable of the fig tree and the fate of sinners. In the Gospel of Mary, whose text is largely fragmented, Peter appears to be jealous of Mary, probably Mary Magdalene. He says to the other disciples, "Did he really speak privately with a woman and not openly to us? Are we to turn about and all listen to her? Did he prefer her to us?" In reply to this, Levi says, "Peter, you have always been hot-tempered." Other non-canonical texts that attribute sayings to Peter include the Secret Book of James and the Acts of Peter. Denial of Jesus. In the Fayum fragment of the end of the 3rd century, Jesus predicts that Peter will deny him 3 times before a cock crows on the following morning. The account is similar to that of the canonical Gospels, especially the Gospel of Mark, either an abbreviation of the account in the Synoptics or a source text on which they were based. Post-Jesus. The fragmentary Gospel of Peter, attributed to Peter, contains an account of the death of Jesus differing significantly from the canonical Gospels. It contains little information about Peter himself, except that after the discovery of the empty tomb, I, Simon Peter, and Andrew my brother, took our fishing nets and went to the sea. 19th century. Joseph Smith, the founder of Mormonism, recorded in multiple revelations that Peter appeared to him and Oliver Cowdery in 1829 in order to bestow the apostleship and keys of the kingdom as part of a restoration of priesthood authority. Religious interpretations. Catholic Church. According to Catholic belief, Peter was the first bishop of Rome and chief pastor of the entire Catholic Church, the vicar of Christ upon earth. Although Peter never bore the title of pope or vicar of Christ, the Catholic Church believes him to be the first pope. Therefore, they consider every pope to be Peter's successor and the rightful superior of all other bishops. The Catholic Church's recognition of Peter as head of its church on earth, with Christ being its heavenly head, is based on its interpretation of 2 passages from the canonical Gospels of the New Testament, as well as sacred tradition. The first passage is John 21, verses 15 through 17, which is, feed my lambs, feed my sheep," which is seen by Catholics as Christ promising the spiritual supremacy to Peter. The Catholic Encyclopedia sees in this passage Jesus charging Peter with the superintendency of all his sheep, without exception, and consequently of his whole flock, that is, of his own church. The second passage is Matthew chapter 16, verses 17 through 20. "I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Christ spoke here in the Syriac tongue, hence, and then the article shows it in non-transliterated Syriac form, and then shows a section from Peshitta, which is, "Also I say to you that you are Kippa, Sifa, and on this Kippa, Sifa, I will build my church, and the gates of Sheol not will subdue it. Thou art a rock, and upon this rock," or "thou art Peter, and upon this Peter will I build my church." Petrus and Petra are the Greek equivalent to the Syriac Sifa, which means rock. And there is no difference at all between Petrus and Petra. To better understand what Christ meant, St. Basil elaborates, "Though Peter be a rock, yet he is not a rock as Christ is. For Christ is the true, unmovable rock of himself. Peter is unmovable by Christ the rock. For Jesus doth communicate and impart his dignities, not voiding himself of them, but holding them to himself, bestoweth them upon others. He is the light, and yet two. You are the light, he is the priest, and yet he three. Maketh priest, he is the rock, and he made a rock. In reference to Peter's occupation before becoming an apostle, the popes wear the fisherman's ring, which bears an image of the saint casting his nets from a fishing boat. The keys used as a symbol of the pope's authority refer to the keys of the kingdom of heaven promised to Peter per Matthew chapter 16, verses 18 through 19. The terminology of this commission of Peter is unmistakably parallel to the commissioning of Eliakim ben Hilkiah in Isaiah chapter 22, verses 15 through 23. Peter is often depicted in both Western and Eastern Christian art, holding a key or a set of keys. Though the authenticity of this account has been challenged, the general consensus is that these are Jesus' words. Feast days. The Roman Martyrology assigns June 29th as the feast day of both Peter and Paul, without thereby declaring that to be the day of their deaths. St. Augustine of Hippo says in his Sermon 295, "One day is assigned for the celebration of the martyrdom of the two apostles, but those two were one. Although their martyrdom occurred on different days, they were one." This is also the feast of both apostles in the calendar of the Eastern Orthodox Church. In the Roman Rite, the feast of the Chair of St. Peter is celebrated on February 22nd, and the anniversary of the dedication of the two papal basilicas of St. Peter's and St. Paul's outside the walls is held on November 18th. Before Pope John XXIII's revision in 1960, the Roman calendar also included, on January 18th, another feast of the Chair of St. Peter, denominated the Chair of St. Peter in Rome, while the February feast was then called that of the Chair of St. Peter at Antioch, and on August 1st, the Feast of St. Peter in Chains. St. Peter's Basilica. In the early 4th century, the Emperor Constantine I decided to honor Peter with a large basilica. Because the precise location of Peter's burial was so firmly fixed in the belief of the Christians of Rome, the church to house the basilica had to be erected on a site that was not convenient to construction. The slope of the Vatican Hill had to be excavated, even though the church could much more easily have been built on level ground, only slightly to the south. There were also moral and legal issues, such as demolishing a cemetery to make room for the building. The focal point of the basilica, both in its original form and in its later complete reconstruction, is the altar located over what is said to be the point of Peter's burial. Protestants and other views. A major debate between Catholics and Protestants centers on Matthew 16:18, where Jesus tells Peter, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." Catholics interpret the verse as saying that Jesus would build his church on Peter, the apostle. The traditional Catholic interpretation has been that Jesus told Peter, rock, that he would build his church on this rock, Peter, and that Peter has made the shepherd of the apostolic flock, per the Gospel of John, chapter 21, verses 15 through 19. Hence their assertion of the primacy of the Roman pontiff. Meaning of rock. In the original Greek, the word translated as Peter is Petros, and that translated as rock is Petra, two words that, while not identical, give an impression of one of many times when Jesus used a play on words. Furthermore, since Jesus presumably spoke to Peter in their native Aramaic language, he would have used Kepha in both instances. The Peshitta text and the Old Syriac text use the word Kepha for Peter and rock in Matthew verse 16 verse 18. Matthew chapter 16 verse 18. John chapter 1 verse 42 says Jesus called Simon Cephas, as does Paul in some letters. He was instructed by Christ to strengthen his brethren, i.e. the apostles. Peter also had a leadership role in the early Christian church at Jerusalem, according to the Acts of the Apostles, chapters 1 through 2, 10 through 11, and 15. Early Catholic Latin and Greek writers, such as St. John Chrysostom, considered the foundation rock as applying to both Peter personally and his confession of faith, or the faith of his confession symbolically, as well as Christ's promise to apply more generally to his 12 apostles and the church at large. This double-meaning interpretation is present in the current Catechism of the Catholic Church. Protestant counterclaims to the Catholic interpretation are largely based on the difference between the Greek words translated rock and the Matthean passage. In classical Attic Greek, petros, masculine, generally meant pebble, while petra, feminine, meant boulder or cliff. Accordingly, taking Peter's name to mean pebble, they argue that the rock in question cannot have been Peter, but something else, either Jesus himself or the faith in Jesus that Peter has professed. However, the New Testament was written in Koine Greek, not Attic Greek, and some authorities say no significant difference existed between the meanings of petros and petra. However, even though the feminine noun petra is translated as rock in the phrase, "On this rock I will build my church," the word petra is also used at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, in describing Jesus Christ, which reads, "They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ." Although Matthew chapter 16 is used as a primary proof text for the Catholic doctrine of papal supremacy, Protestant scholars say that prior to the Reformation of the 16th century, Matthew 16 was very rarely used to support papal claims. Their position is that most of the early and medieval church interpreted the rock as being a reference either to Christ or to Peter's faith, not Peter himself. They understand Jesus' remark to have been his affirmation of Peter's testimony that Jesus was the Son of God. Despite this claim, many fathers saw a connection between Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, and the primacy of Peter and his office, such as Tertullian writing, "The Lord said to Peter, 'On this rock I will build my church. I have given you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you shall have bound or loosed on earth will be bound or loosed in heaven.'" Per Matthew chapter 16, verses 18 through 19, ellipsis, "Upon you," he says, "I will build my church, and I will give to you the keys," not to the church. Other theologically conservative Christians, including confessional Lutherans, also rebut comments made by Carl Keating and D.A. Carson, who claim that there is no distinction between the words petros and petra in Koine Greek. The Lutheran theologians state that the dictionaries of Koine/NT Greek, including the alternative Bauer-Donker-Arndt-Gingrich lexicon, indeed list both words and the passages that give different meanings for each. The Lutheran theologians further note that, "We honor Peter, and in fact some of our churches are named after him, but he was not the first pope, nor was he Roman Catholic. If you read his letter, you will see that he did not teach a Roman hierarchy, but that all Christians are royal priests. The same keys given to Peter in Matthew 16 are given to the whole church of believers in Matthew 18. Partial Protestant support. Partial support for the Catholic position comes from one of Protestantism's most distinguished church historians, Oscar Cullman, a Lutheran theologian. He disagrees with Luther and the Protestant reformers who held that by rock Christ did not mean Peter, but meant either himself or the faith of his followers. He believes the meaning of the original Aramaic is very clear, that Kepha was the Aramaic word for rock, and that it was also the name by which Christ called Peter. Yet, Cullman sharply rejects the Catholic claim that Peter began the papal succession. He writes, "In the life of Peter, there is no starting point for a chain of succession to the leadership of the church at large." While he believes the Matthew text is entirely valid and is in no way spurious, he says it cannot be used as warrant of the papal succession. Coleman concludes that while Peter was the original head of the apostles, Peter was not the founder of any visible church succession. There are other Protestant scholars who also partially defend the historical Catholic position about Rock. Taking a somewhat different approach from Coleman, they point out that the Gospel of Matthew was not written in the classical Attic form of Greek, but in the Hellenistic Quanae dialect, in which there is no distinction in meaning between Petros and Petra. Moreover, even in Attic Greek, in which the regular meaning of Petros was a smallish stone, there are instances of its use to refer to larger rocks, as in Sophocles' Oedipus at Colonus, version 1595, where Petros refers to a builder used as a landmark, obviously something more than a pebble. In any case, a Petros-Petra distinction is irrelevant considering the Aramaic language in which the phrase might well have been spoken. In Greek of any period, the feminine noun Petra could not be used as the given name of a male, which may explain the use of Petros as the Greek word with which to translate Aramaic Kepha. Yet, still other Protestant scholars believe that Jesus in fact did mean to single out Peter as the very rock which he would build upon, but that the passage does nothing to indicate a continued succession of Peter's implied position. They assert that Matthew uses the demonstrative pronoun tout, which allegedly means this very or this same, when he refers to the rock on which Jesus' church will be built. He also uses the Greek for and, kai. It is alleged that when a demonstrative pronoun is used with kai, the pronoun refers back to the preceding noun. The second rock Jesus refers to must then be the same rock as the first one. And if Peter is the first rock, he must also be the second. Eastern Orthodox. The Eastern Orthodox Church regards Apostle Peter, together with Apostle Paul, as preeminent apostles. Another title used for Peter is Corypheus, which could be translated as choir director or lead singer. The Church recognizes Apostle Peter's leadership role in the early Church, especially in the very early days at Jerusalem, but does not consider him to have had any princely role over his fellow apostles. The New Testament is not seen by the Orthodox as supporting any extraordinary authority for Peter with regard to faith or morals. The Orthodox also hold that Peter did not act as leader at the Council of Jerusalem, but as merely one of a number who spoke. The final decision regarding the non-necessity of circumcision and certain prohibitions was spelled out by James, the brother of the Lord, though Catholics hold James merely reiterated and fleshed out what Peter had said regarding the latter's earlier divine revelation regarding the inclusion of Gentiles. Eastern and Oriental Orthodox do not recognize the Bishop of Rome as the successor of Saint Peter, but the Ecumenical Patriarch of Constantinople sends a delegation each year to Rome to participate in the celebration of the Feast of Saints Peter and Paul. In the Ravenna document of October 13, 2007, the representatives of the Eastern Orthodox Church agreed that Rome, as the church that presides in love, according to the phrase of St. Ignatius of Antioch, to the Romans Prologue, occupied the first place in the taxis, and that the Bishop of Rome was therefore the protus among the patriarchs, if the papacy unites with the Orthodox Church. They disagree, however, on the interpretation of the historical evidence from this era regarding the prerogatives of the Bishop of Rome as protos, a matter that was already understood in different ways in the first millennium. With regard to Jesus' words to Peter, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church," the Orthodox hold Christ is referring to the confession of faith, not the person of Peter, as that upon which he will build the church. This is allegedly shown by the fact that the original Greek uses the feminine demonstrative pronoun when he says, "upon this rock," whereas, grammatically, if he had been referring to Peter, he would allegedly have used the masculine. This gender distinction argument is also held by some Protestants. Feast days. In the Orthodox daily office, every Thursday throughout the year is dedicated to the holy apostles, including Saint Peter. There are also feast days in the year which are dedicated to him. First, June 29th, Feast of Saints Peter and Paul. This is a major feast day and is preceded by a period of Lenten fasting known as the Apostles' Fast. Excuse me. January 16th, Veneration of the Precious Chains of the Holy and All-Glorious Apostle Peter, commemorating both the chains which Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 11, says miraculously fell from him and the chains in which he was held before his martyrdom
Syrian
by Nero.
Orthodox Church. The fathers of the Syriac Orthodox Church try to give a theological interpretation to the primacy of Apostle Peter. They were fully convinced of the unique office of Peter in the primitive Christian community. Ephraim, Aphrahat, and Maruthus, who were supposed to have been the best exponents of the early Syriac tradition, unequivocally acknowledged the office of Peter. The Syriac fathers, following the rabbinic tradition, called Jesus Kepha, for they see rock in the Old Testament as a messianic symbol. Yet the old Maronite Syriacs of Lebanon still refer to St. Peter as St. Simon the Generous, or Simon Kerem. When Christ gave his own name Kepha to Simon, he was giving him participation in the person and office of Christ. Christ, who is the Kepha and shepherd, made Simon the chief shepherd in his place and gave him the very name Kepha, and said that on Kepha he would build the church. Aphrahat shared the common Syriac tradition. For him, Kepha is in fact another name of Jesus, and Simon was given the right to share the name. The person who receives somebody else's name also obtains the rights of the person who bestows the name. Aphrahat makes the stone taken from Jordan a type of Peter. He wrote, "Jesus, son of Nun, set up the stones for a witness in Israel. Jesus, our Savior, called Simon Kepha Sarirto, and set him as the faithful witness among nations." Again, he wrote in his commentary on Deuteronomy that Moses brought forth water from rock, Kepha, for the people, and Jesus sent Simon Kepha to carry his teachings among nations. God accepted him and made him the foundation of the church and called him Kepha. When he speaks about transfiguration of Christ, he calls him Saint Peter, the foundation of the church. Ephraim also shared the same view. In the Armenian version of Devrajanate records, Peter the Rock shunned honor. In Mimro of Ephraim, found in Holy Week liturgy, points to the importance of Peter. Both Aphrahat and Ephraim represent the authentic tradition of the Syrian church. The different orders of liturgies used for sanctification of church building, marriage, ordination, etc., reveal that the primacy of Peter is a part of the living faith of the church. New Apostolic Church. The New Apostolic Church, who believes in the reestablished apostle ministry, sees Peter as the first chief apostle. Latter-day Saint Movement. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, LDS Church, or Mormons, along with other sects of the Latter-day Saint Movement, believe that Peter was the first leader of the early Christian church after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but reject papal succession. In interpreting the Gospel of Matthew chapter 16 verses 13 through 19, the LDS Church has stated, "The things of God are known only by the power of His Spirit," and that which the world calls Mormonism is based upon the rock of revelation, and how could it be otherwise? Asked Elder Bruce R. McConkie of the Council of the Twelve. In his April 1981 General Conference address, he identified the rock of which Savior spoke as the rock of revelation. There is no other foundation upon which the Lord could build his church and kingdom. Revelation, pure, perfect revelation, this is the rock. Latter-day Saints believe that Peter, James, and John came from heaven and conferred the keys of the Melchizedek priesthood upon Joseph Smith and Oliver Cowdery in 1829 near Harmony Township, Susquehanna County, Pennsylvania, as part of the restoration of priesthood authority. Islamic literature. Muslims accept Jesus as a prophet of Islam. The Quran also speaks of Jesus' disciples, but does not mention their names, instead referring to them as helpers to the Prophet of God. Muslim exegesis and Quran commentary, however, names them and includes Peter among the disciples. An old tradition, which involves the legend of Habib the carpenter, mentions that Jesus was one of the three disciples sent to Antioch to preach to the people there. Shia Muslims see a parallel in the figure of Peter to Ali at Muhammad's time. They look upon Ali as being the vicegerent, with Muhammad being the prophet. Likewise, they see Peter as the vicegerent behind Jesus the prophet and Masih. Peter's role as the first proper leader of the church is also seen by Shias to be a parallel to their belief in Ali as the first caliph after Muhammad. Writings. Traditionally, two canonical epistles, 1st and 2nd Peter, and several apocryphal works have been attributed to Peter. New Testament. The New Testament includes two letters, epistles, ascribed to Peter. Both demonstrate a high quality of cultured and urban Greek, at odds with a linguistic skill that would ordinarily be expected of an Aramaic-speaking fisherman, who would have learned Greek as a second or third language. The textual features of these two epistles are such that a majority of scholars doubt that they were written by the same hand. Some scholars argue that theological differences imply different sources and point to the lack of references to 2 Peter among the early church fathers. Of the two epistles, the first epistle is considered the earlier. A number of scholars have argued that the textual discrepancies with what would be expected of the biblical Peter are due to it having been written with the help of a secretary or as an amanuensis. Some have seen a reference to the use of a secretary in the sentence, "By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand," per 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 12. However, New Testament scholar Bart D. Ehrman, in his 2011 book Forge, states that scholars now widely recognize that when the author indicates that he wrote the book through Silvanus, he is indicating not the name of his secretary, but the person who was carrying his letter to the recipients. The letter refers to Roman persecution of Christians, apparently of an official nature. The Roman historian Tacitus and the biographer Suetonius do both record that Nero persecuted Christians, and Tacitus dates this to immediately after the fire that burned Rome in 64. Christian tradition, for example, Eusebius of Caesarea, has maintained that Peter was killed in Nero's persecution, and thus had to assume that the Roman persecution alluded to in 1 Peter must be this Neronian persecution. On the other hand, many modern scholars argue that 1 Peter refers to the persecution of Christians in Asia Minor during the reign of Emperor Domitian from 81 to 96, and as the letter is explicitly addressed to Jewish Christians from that region. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by his blood, grace and peace be yours in abundance, per 1 Peter chapter 1, 1-2. Those scholars who believe that the epistle dates from the time of Domitian argue that Nero's persecution of Christians was confined to the city of Rome itself and did not extend to the Asian provinces mentioned in 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 1-2. The second epistle of Peter, on the other hand, appears to have been copied in part from the epistle of Jude, and some modern scholars date its composition as late as circa 150. Some scholars argue the opposite, that the epistle of Jude copied 2 Peter, while others contend an early date for Jude, and thus observe that an early date is not incompatible with the text. Many scholars have noted the similarities between the apocryphal Second Epistle of Clement from the 2nd century and 2nd Peter. 2nd Peter may be earlier than 150. There are a few possible references to it that date back to the 1st century or early 2nd century. Exempli gratia, 1st Clement, written in circa AD 96. And the later church historian Eusebius claimed that Origen had made reference to the epistle before 250. Even in early times, there was controversy over its authorship, and 2 Peter was often not included in the biblical canon. It was only in the 4th century that it gained a firm foothold in the New Testament in a series of synods. In the East, the Syrian Orthodox Church still did not admit it into the canon until the 6th century. Traditionally, the Gospel of Mark was said to have been written by a person named John Mark, and that this person was an assistant to Peter. Hence, its content was traditionally seen as the closest to Peter's viewpoint. According to Eusebius's Ecclesiastical History, Papias recorded this belief from John the Presbyter. Mark, having become the interpreter of Peter, wrote down accurately whatsoever he remembered. It was not, however, in exact order that he related the sayings or deeds of Christ, for he neither heard the Lord nor accompanied him. But afterwards, as I said, he accompanied Peter, who accommodated his instructions to the necessities of his hearers, but with no intention of giving a normal or chronological narrative of the Lord's sayings. Wherefore Mark made no mistake in thus writing some things as he remembered them. For of one thing he took especial care, not to omit anything he had heard, and not to put anything fictional into the statements. Also Irenaeus wrote about this tradition. After their, Peter and Paul's passing, Mark also, the disciple and interpreter of Peter, transmitted to us in writing the things preached by Peter. Based on these quotes and on the Christian tradition, the information in Mark's gospel about Saint Peter would be based on eyewitness material. It should be noted, however, that some scholars, for differing reasons, dispute the attribution of the Gospel of Mark to its traditional author. The Gospel itself is anonymous, and the above passages are the oldest surviving written testimony to its authorship. Pseudepigraphia and Apocrypha. There are also a number of other apocryphal writings not recognized by the Church that have been either attributed to or written about St. Peter. They were from antiquity regarded as pseudepigraphia. These include Gospel of Peter, a partially docetic narrative that has survived in part, Acts of Peter and Andrew, Acts of Peter and Paul, Acts of Peter and the Twelve, Gnostic Apostle of Peter, a letter of Peter to Philip, which was preserved in the Nag Hammadi Library, Apocalypse of Peter, which was considered as genuine by many Christians as late as the 4th century, the Epistula Petri, the introductory letter ascribed to Apostle Peter that appears at the beginning of at least one version of the Clementine literature. Iconography. The earliest portrait of St. Peter dates back to the 4th century and was located in 2010. In traditional iconography, Peter has been shown very consistently since early Christian art as an oldish, thick-set man with a slightly combative face and a short beard, and usually white hair, sometimes balding. He thus contrasts with St. Paul, who is bald except at the sides, with a longer beard and often black hair, and thinner in the face. One exception to this is in Anglo-Saxon art, where he typically lacks a beard. Both Peter and Paul are shown thus as early as the 4th century catacombs of Marcellinus and Peter in Rome. Later in the Middle Ages, his attribute is one or two large keys in his hand or hanging from his belt, first seen in the early 8th century. More than many medieval attributes, this continued to be depicted in the Renaissance and afterwards. By the 15th century, Peter is more likely to be bald on the top of his head in the Western Church, but he continues to have a good head of hair in Orthodox icons. The depiction of St. Peter as literally the keeper of the gates of heaven, popular with modern cartoonists, see next section, is not found in traditional religious art, but Peter usually heads groups of saints flanking God in heaven, on the right side, viewers left of God. Narrative images of Peter include several scenes from the life of Christ, where he is mentioned in the Gospels, and he is often identifiable in scenes where his presence is not specifically mentioned. Usually he stands nearest to Christ. In particular, depictions of the arrest of Christ usually include Peter cutting off the ear of one of the soldiers. Scenes without Jesus include his distinctive martyrdom, his rescue from prison, and sometimes his trial. In the Counter-Reformation scenes of Peter, hearing the cock crow for the third time became popular, as a representation of repentance, and hence the Catholic sacrament of confession or repentance. Popular culture. Over the years, Saint Peter has evolved into a stock character that is now widely used in jokes, cartoons, comedies, dramas, and plays. Such characters almost all play upon Peter's role as the keeper of the keys of the kingdom of heaven in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 16, verse 19, on the basis of which he is often depicted as an elderly, bearded man who sits at the pearly gates that serve as heaven's main entrance, often portrayed as a sort of hotel-style doorman/bouncer who personally interviews prospective entrants into heaven, often seated behind a desk or standing at a lectern. He usually has a big book in which the names of the saved are written. The interjection, "For Peter's sake," a play on the "for," open bracket, insert name of revered figure, close bracket, sake, snow clone, is believed to be a reference to Saint Peter. Patronage. And then there's a chart. Saint Peter is the patronage of the following workers: bakers, bridge builders, butchers, fishermen, harvesters, cordwainers, horologists, locksmiths, cobblers, masons, netmakers, shipwrights, and stationers. He is a patron saint called for aid in frenzy, foot problems, fever, and longevity. He is a patron saint of the following institutions: the papacy, Bath Abbey, Berchtesgaden Provosty, Bishop Cotton Boys School, Bangalore, Exeter College, Oxford, Universalist Church, Peterhouse, Cambridge, St. Peter's College, Oxford, St. Peter's College, Auckland, St. Peter's College, New Jersey, and St. Peter's School, New York. St. Peter is the patron saint of the following churches and cathedrals: the Papal Basilica of St. Peter in Vatican City, York Minster. And then there is a Wikipedia link to a list of churches dedicated to St. Peter. St. Peter is the patron saint of the following locations: Beerzebuga, Bremen, San Pedro, San Pablo City, Worms, Calatrava, Chartres, Chimbote, Kalbajog City, Cologne, Dravo, Dunajská Streda, Hinton on the Green, Ivoch I Sveti Petar, Jackson, Kopenek, Las Vegas, Leuven, Leiden, Lacine, Maralal, Marquette, Moissac, Naumburg, Obermarsberg, Peterburg, Philadelphia, Poznan, Providence, Pubnico, Regensburg, Gurg, Rome, Povoa de Varzim, St. Petersburg, St. Pierre y Miquelon, San Pedro Laguna, San Pedro Saloma, Scranton, Sexial Municipality, Sunderland, Sintra, St. Pietres Road, Tielt, Toa Baja, Trier, and Umbria. Holy Relics. Pope Vitalian sent filings from Apostle Peter's chain to Oswy, King of Northumbria, in the 7th century. Peter's remains continue to be subject of investigation, but his tomb is located under St. Peter's Basilica in the Vatican. This was announced by Pope Pius XII on Christmas Day in 1950 after years of painstaking research. Revisionist views. Many Protestant scholars accept the traditional story of Peter's martyrdom in Rome. Some Protestants, however, have rejected Peter's martyrdom as a later invention, arguing that evidence of Peter exists only in biblical accounts. It has also been claimed that there was a serious division between Peter's Jewish Christian party and Paul's Hellenizing party, seen in, e.g., the incident at Antioch, which later Christian accounts have downplayed. Another revisionist view was developed by supporters of the Christ myth theory, which holds that the figure of Peter is largely a development from some mythological doorkeeper figures. According to Arthur Drews and G.A. Wells, if there were a historical Peter, then all that is known about him is the brief mentions in Galatians.